This is KCUR. I'm Gina Kaufman. To end today's show, we've got a story about how Kansas is contributing to the small but forceful vinyl comeback in the music industry. At its heart, this is a story about a man at a crossroads in his life. An unexpected move to Salina, Kansas turned him into a record industry hero and turned Salina into a vinyl pressing hub. CJ Janavies got the story.
Here in Salina, along the railroad tracks, in the shadow of grain elevators, next to a gravel lot filled with industrial propane tanks, is the headquarters of Acoustic Sounds. It's run by Chad Kasem. He's originally from Louisiana.
Back in the mid-70s, every teenage boy had a stereo, or most of them in my neighborhood, stereo and maybe 100 albums, so I wasn't any more of a collector than most of my friends.
By the time he was 21, though, Kasem was in trouble for drugs and alcohol.
And I came to Kansas to get sober in 1984. That's where the judge picked.
Kansas has alcohol, but in general, there were fewer distractions for a man who needed to dry out.
I had my stereo shipped up here or brought up here, and then I was looking at my albums, and they were in pretty poor condition. And I'm like, hey, you know, let's build up my collection. Since Kansas is kind of out of the way, most of these records that were very rare and sought after, they still had plenty of them in Kansas, and I found a couple of mother loads.
A record store called House of Sight and Sound still had titles like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Deja Vu, The Beatles' Sgt. Pepper, and Jethro Tull's Aqualung. It turns out that judge in Louisiana did a favor for music lovers. Chad Kasem's hobby turned into an international mail order business.
You sell albums and you sell pre-owned albums, and then people are looking for particular albums that nobody's putting out and they're very valuable, so you decide to reissue it.
He founded Acoustic Sounds and contacted record labels about reissuing classic albums. He built up a staff to recreate the artwork, negotiate rights, and handle sales. At first, he contracted out the vinyl pressing.
The next natural step is to have your own pressing plant. It just took me like 20 years and $2 million to do it.
Kasem bought his first presses in 2010. He found some of them in England. Others came from Los Angeles. Most were in pretty bad shape. Kasem hired two experienced technicians to get them up and running, and he lined up an influential customer. Lord, I feel the ocean swaying me. The estate of Jimi Hendrix. John McDermott is the producer and catalog director for Experience Hendrix, LLC.
You know, I knew Chad through his work on behalf of blues artists at his studio in Salina, Kansas. And we also knew Chad's reputation as a vinyl wholesaler by mail order. It's certainly selling a lot of Jimi Hendrix product. So when he decided to get into the manufacturing process, once it got up and running, we began shifting all of the Jimi Hendrix vinyl manufacturing to his company in Kansas.
Kasem's presses are running 24/7. Each one is about the size of a Volkswagen Bug. They're intricate systems of steel and hydraulics. Today, they're pressing records by Leonard Cohen, Kiss, Pink Floyd, and The Doors. There are about 16 record pressing plants around the country. Kasem says it's an arms race to find any remaining presses and get them back into production. So it was a big deal when he discovered 13 rusting presses in Chicago owned by a guy named Joel Hayes. He runs a rehearsal studio and he always wanted to make records, so he bought some abandoned presses on eBay a decade ago.
Didn't have any idea how much it was going to cost to get them going at the time, but at first I thought maybe a couple hundred thousand to get to build the factory, and which after tons of research turned out to be closer to a million.
Hayes tried to line up investors, but he never could. Meanwhile,
a lot of people tried to buy them from me over the years, but I've always said no.
With Kasem, it was different.
I went up there, and I was willing to help him get his pressing plant and give him all the advice and everything I learned. I was willing to share this with him, and I told him I would. And the last thing I said is, I said, you know, or if you want, I'll just buy them all.
Which is what he did. All 13 of them. They're in pieces now, spread out all over the floor of Kasem's warehouse. It looks like a mechanic's garage, and it smells like rust and grease. Three guys are working on the machines.
Stripping everything down and getting ready for paint. A lot of stuff has to be replaced.
That's Robert Drenton from Abilene.
I actually working on tractors and stuff, and I did a lot of painting and just a lot of assembly work, so I got quite a bit of mechanical skills when it comes to stuff like this. I was surprised that there's machines like this still.
It could take a year before these presses are up and running, but that's okay with Chad Kasem.
Basically, the first time you see these old rusty presses, it looks like scrap metal. But it's not scrap metal. It looks like gold to you once you've seen what they can do and make.
For Chad Kasem, make that black gold.